Good morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for this time. I get to look at your word, Lord, and help us to send your Holy Spirit to help us to learn something new today, and we can use it in our lives, and it's honoring to you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, how is everybody doing today? I hope well. We are going to try to, we're in Esther 8, and I figure, based on my notes, we'll get about through about halfway of the book today. And so, let's get started. This is a little prelude. Thought I would show, bring up the map again, because we're going to be talking a little bit about, got my cursor going again, if you can see it. We're going to be talking a little bit about the size of the Persian Empire today. So I just wanted to kind of show it to you. It goes all the way from the Ulai River, which is in India, all the way over and through Mesopotamia area, down into Egypt, all the way over into Ethiopia. You'll see that mentioned. So you can see that, and besides Turkey, and a little bit up in towards towards Greece, I forget what that's called. Paul went there quite a bit. It's got another name. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But it, so it's quite an empire, and we're going to talk about the fact that it had one of the best message systems. I got another map here. Let me just bring this over for a second. This kind of shows the map system, the road system, of the Persian Empire. And you can see there's quite a bit of roads. The Persians were really good at building roads, and the red lines you see there, the roads. Where we're at right here, it doesn't really show it real well. But if you see where my cursor is, it's right over in this area. It's about where it says Media, is about where we where Shushang is. So I can give you an idea, maybe a little bit farther north. But that's, so when he sends out the runners that are on horseback, you get a kind of an idea how far they're going. And I checked it out from India to Egypt is about 3,000 miles as the crow flies. So basically this area is probably about the size of the United States, or close to it. Nice, it's a little bit bigger. I think it's about 5,000 miles. Well, for instance, I know that when I traveled here from, basically it's exactly the same. When I traveled here by road from Rhode Island, when I moved here, it was 3,000 miles, almost to the mile from Rhode Island to Tucson, Arizona. So it's about the same size. And they got to do it on horseback and by mules. And you're going to see the verses that I talk about. So let's get that other picture back. And maybe we'll keep this view for today so you can, on this map here, Shushang is right here where I'm circling. So that's where we're at. So we'll keep that as our backdrop for today. And let's get some verses in here. I know I get some big ones this time, so I'll go with the big version. So Esther 8:1. On that day did King Xerxes give the house of Haman, the Jews, enemy unto Esther the queen, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. So remember yesterday, we Haman got hanged. The king found out that he had wanted to kill all the Jewish people, and he found out that Queen Esther is a Jew. And now Esther has already told the king, too, that that Mordecai is her cousin. And so that's where we're starting off here in chapter 8. So I think that probably Esther, I know, probably feeling pretty good now that she's full disclosure. She's a Jew, and the king is still happy with her, and that he went ahead and made the situation. But as we're going to see going through here, we've got a little bit of a problem. We have that order that went out by Haman into all the world, the known world of the Persian Empire at that time. That's why I was showing you the map. As we saw back in Esther 2:7, and he brought up Hadassai, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So as the verse it tells us about the relationship between Esther and Mordecai. I couldn't help but think about Jesus' own words when it came to well, why did I put that there? Let me just back to verse 1 for a second. Okay, oh, I'm in the wrong spot, I think. No, this is the right spot. Why did I put Luke 20, 12, 20 there? Oh, I never know. This is the Jesus tells his story, talking about the kind of referencing back to Haman. Haman thought he was going to accomplish a goal by killing all the Jews because of his hatred he had for Mordecai. And so he came up with this plan in order to get all the Jews eliminated. And this here, Jesus is talking about that when you be careful of what you what riches you try to provide for yourself on earth, because it sooner or later you're going to die, and those riches aren't going to do you any good. So to bring up your riches in heaven, and that's what these verses are talking about. And so Haman was trying to accomplish something, but now he's dead, so it didn't really do him any good. I think maybe I could have picked a little bit better spot to put it in, but let's go through them. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these be which thou providest? So as he that layeth treasure for himself is not rich towards God. And I'm jumping back down and jumping down to verse 33. Sell that ye have and give alms, provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I put this in here mainly to indicate that basically that Esther and Mordecai had succeeded. Even though that, if you remember correctly, Haman was kind of getting his way. That's what I was mainly driving at in chapter 7. But now that what Esther was patient and Mordecai was patient from back when, if you remember the reason the king found out about how evil Haman was because of those two spies that Mordecai knew about. And because then Mordecai ended up getting praised by the king because of him saving the king's life. And so that gave the premise. So even though Mordecai did not try to use that to his advantage up to this point, that it came into play at this point. And that's why I was showing that story in Luke, that kind of tells us that to be patient on the Lord, and that our good deeds will be seen by Him, and that's what we should be worried about. Storing up our treasure is in heaven. Okay, as to 8:2. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. So now Mordecai, that's why I call this Mordecai being promoted. Now Mordecai has the same power that Haman did, because he's got the king's ring, but of course he's going to use it for good. and that he's going to be do things righteously and upright. And we saw over in Esther 3:10 how the ring had been originally given to Haman, and now it's been, and now Mordecai ended up with it. So you can see that the treasure that was originally given for evil is now going to be given to good, because Mordecai stuck to his guns and did not try to use that knowledge to gain. So God has basically given him his treasure, or basically promoting him because of his willingness to stay true to the to his word and be patient. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. So just pointing to that word where that ring originally came from. And it's nice that Mordecai has now been put in charge. So over in Psalms 37:34, great psalm on this subject. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And so here's an example, a perfect example of this psalm, that by waiting and by being patient, Mordecai ended up with a blessing at the end. I couldn't help but think about the fact that it reminds me of Joseph over in Genesis. Remember, he was thrown into jail by Potiphar because of his wife's false accusation. And that he ended up in jail, and he had asked the baker and the if he would help him get out of jail. And the baker forgot all about him. And so years went by, and all of a sudden, something came up, and Pharaoh needed some help with a dream. And the baker remembered, the cupbearer remembered Joseph being an interpreter of dreams. Well, you can see that he was patient and waited, but got his glory through God from the Pharaoh when the time was right. And we saw that over in Genesis 41:42. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Basically made him his second in command. It's kind of the same thing as happening to Mordecai. Mordecai is getting a very prestigious position there at as the number one person other than the king and the queen. Also saw a similar thing happen over in Daniel. When Daniel, this is the King Nebuchadnezzar talking. And in Daniel 2:48, we just talked about this Sunday, that the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. So a couple of more great examples of when we wait upon the Lord, that our blessings will come from the Lord, and that's the best place to come from, have them come from. I'll admit, though, that sometimes I'm not the most patient person in the world, so it's something the Lord's still helping me to learn to be patient, and that not to wait on him, because his timing is always perfect. And okay, Esther 8:3. And Esther spake again, spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Now here we have a problem. And it's one of those situations that can't be undone very easily. So all we can do is mitigate it, and that's what the king's going to do here. But it reminds me a little bit of a verse over in Isaiah 38:2, where Hezekiah had learned of some things that were going to be happening. And so he urgently prayed with the Lord, with his face buried toward the Lord, and prayed. In this particular case, the Lord saw his tears and granted his request. He was dying, and he showed real honor to the Lord, and Lord reversed his healed him basically. That's in over in Isaiah 38:2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. So we got a similar situation here. Over in Esther is now hoping that the king can do something to help her people. And so Esther 8:4, Then the king held out his golden scepter toward Esther, and so Esther arose and stood before the king. You remember whenever he did that, she would touch the end of it, and that was basically the king giving her permission to address the court. And said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, this is Esther speaking, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. And just as a refresher, we'll go back to when this happened. It was back in Esther 3, 12 and 13. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors and that were over every province and to the rules of every people of every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language. And the name of King Xerxes was written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, and one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for prey. Keep in mind that 12th month. That'll come into play here in a minute. Okay, back to Esther 8, verse 6. But how can I endure to see the evil that shall come upon my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? So Esther's still pleading her case, realizing, though, that we know that it's going to, unfortunately, the Persian rules don't allow him to reverse the letters. So we're going to see here what he is going to do. But over in Luke 14, sometimes evil will happen, and it's even out of our hands. There's nothing we can do about it. And I thought about a time when Jesus himself, the Son of God, wished for something and didn't receive it. And he actually wept. And so I thought I'd just remind us of Luke 19, 41 and 42. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. This is Jesus talking, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. So that was the fact that they didn't know that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And so even God himself, sometimes I'm sure, sorrows over the fact that once he makes a rule, he has to stick to it. And that unfortunately, if we ignore it or don't pay attention to it, there's nothing he can do. His hands are tied because he can't go back on his word. He can't lie. He can't change his mind. And it kind of reminds me, his love for us is so intense that he wants us to do right. And it always reminds me of, as being a parent myself, that we too, sometimes we want to do good for our kids. We want to give them nice things, and sometimes we have to punish them and get them to straighten up if they misbehave. And I think my dad used to have a saying that this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I think that's actually true. That most parents, and me included, don't want to punish. We want our children to listen to us. But sometimes they got to learn the hard way. That's the only way they're going to learn. I kind of like the kid who touched the stove when it was hot. You could tell him for decades that not to touch the stove because it's hot and it's going to hurt. But usually they end up touching the stove at some point, and they get burned, and they're going to have to deal with the burn. But they learned a valuable lesson. And maybe mom and dad are right. That's a very easy example, but I think you know what I'm driving at. That we've all been there. We've all had our hands singed when things that we thought we'd do it our way, and our way didn't work out so good. And God does the same thing. So talking about back to Esther 8, verse 7. Then the king Xerxes said unto Esther the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him that have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. So he's reminded them that he's done quite a bit. He got rid of the problem. hung him on the gallows, and he actually gave the all of Haman's possessions to them. A couple of verses that come to mind on that one there, it's over in Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I like that second part there, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So here, Haman's riches are now become part of Mordecai's estate. Over here in Galatians 3:13, Paul talks about Christ has to redeem us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. A couple of examples. So over to verse 8. Pray ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Well, this verse here is telling Mordecai that he can do what he can to minimize the damage, but that basically there's nothing he can do about it. That once it's sealed with his ring, there's nothing he can do about it. And we saw the first time this was talked about over in Esther 1:19. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered. The Vashti come no more before the king Xerxes, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. So that this is another commandment that the king put in, and he couldn't go back on it. Just mainly to mention that the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not be altered. That's why I brought that verse over here. And this is actually also mentioned over in Daniel, chapter 6, verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. We'll get to that when we get in our Daniel study, but that's talking about that decree that those evil guys came up with to try to destroy Daniel and his friends and come to find out Daniel fell into that trap. But then God to the rescue on that one. We'll talk about that when we get there. It's chapter 6. And also in verses 12 through 15. And this is the what happened because of what they did. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, this was the rule they came up with, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which alters not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judea, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh a petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So he actually brought in all his lawyers, his councilmen, to try to figure out a way around this decree. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. And so in that case, though, God stepped in and helped. I just want to spell that out, that that's a known decree, and it's also mentioned in Daniel. So basically, going to stop there, and a good stopping spot, but that in a way it's the same with God. We have his promise of eternal life, and I like to think of it this way, you know, that God had made a promise, a solemn promise way back in Genesis, that whatever he says is true will come to pass. And so that's a great promise, and we can rest assured that all these promises that he kept, that he made, he will keep. And of course, the most important promise is over in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the that's one of the promises that God gave. It was actually Jesus acting as God that said it. Then over in Romans 10:9 through 13, as the other confirmation of this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And on that note, I'm going to stop for today. But please note that if you're somebody that's watching this and doesn't know the Lord Jesus, that you will stand by for a few more, there's an additional video that comes on after this, just a few minutes long, that will explain how you too can reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and go to heaven. And so I hope you watch it if you don't know the Lord, and that you need to, and we all need salvation. We all need to be cleansed from our sins, and the only way to do that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So please take a look in that video, and we will talk again tomorrow, and I hope you all have a great day, and talk to you tomorrow.